Today on The Verdict with Pastor John Monroe.
Let's face it, when facing the real world, it's hard not to feel stressed. Feverish anxieties, gnawing worries, stresses and tensions seem to characterize so much of modern living. Here is a message, not just for the chronic worriers. Here is a message for all of us who from time to time worry and fret.
Welcome to The Verdict, featuring the Bible teaching of Pastor John Monroe, Senior Pastor of Calvary Church in Charlotte, North Carolina. Are you tired of living with constant worry and anxiety? Are you feeling overwhelmed by the pressures of life? Well, today's message is just for you. Today, we're discussing how to break this destructive cycle of stress and anxiety and exchange your worries for God's peace. Here's Pastor John Monroe.
Everyone knows to some extent what it is to worry and to be anxious. But in our world today, worry and anxiety have reached epidemic proportions. Once these concerns were most prevalent in adults, but now increasingly we hear of children and students who experience severe worry and anxiety. Today we're going to turn to a letter written by the Apostle Paul in the first century. He addresses this very question of worry and anxiety. So clearly in the first century, people knew about this. People like to say that the Bible is outdated, irrelevant to our contemporary world. How foolish. Here is the wisdom of God in dealing with worry and anxiety. Listen, as we think of winning over worry.
I was thinking this morning that the Christian life is a supernatural life, isn't it? Can you imagine going through life without Christ? You imagine going through life without this wonderful transformation going on, that God in His grace is working His purposes out in our lives and making us more and more like Jesus Christ. Also, as we think of this passage this morning, here is something that impacts about every person in the universe, and yet it is only in the Christian life that we truly can win over worry. In today's economic and political climate, people are very, very worried. I've received quite a number of phone calls, discussions, emails about people who are either members of this congregation or who are connected or who know me previously. And there are many, many people who are very, very worried. Time magazine had an article on anxiety, and I quote, "Anxiety disorder, which is what health experts call any anxiety that persists to the point that it interferes with one's life, is the most common mental illness in the United States. In its various forms, ranging from very specific phobias to generalized anxiety disorder, it afflicts 19 million Americans." Now that's people suffering from so-called anxiety disorder. That's a lot of anxiety. But even if we're not suffering from technically an anxiety disorder, most of us worry from time to time. People worry about their kids, about school, about the election, about aging parents, about health, employment, education, relationships, their pension, nuclear attacks, terrorism, you name it, people worry about it. I recently read of a Scottish mailman in Germany, I don't know what he's doing there, but he had hoarded up, believe it or not, Brian, 20,000 letters. His excuse was, according to the Scotsman, which I check periodically, see what's really going on in the world, his excuse was, quote, he felt swamped by the demands of a night school he was attending. Now, we think, how on earth could things be so difficult at a night school in Germany that you're unable to do your work? But there it is. The man was stressed. And let's face it, when facing the real world, it's hard not to feel stressed. Feverish anxieties, gnawing worries, stresses and tensions seem to characterize so much of modern living. And research has shown that anxiety and stress contribute to heart disease, ulcers, loss of memory, blood pressure, sexual dysfunction, diminished immune function, and disturbed sleep patterns. And there is a huge industry in this country in sleeping pills, antidepressants, minor tranquilizers, all designed to help people cope. But experts are by no means agreed as to the cure for worry and anxiety. Is there such a cure? Is it possible to win over worry? I want to say, yes, there is a cure. Writing to the Philippians 2,000 years ago, Paul addresses directly this problem of worry and anxiety. It is not a new problem. It has always existed since the fall in the garden, right throughout human history, right to tonight. People are worried. And in our passage, Paul not only gives us the challenge not to be anxious, even more importantly, he gives us the biblical solution. I've called this message Winning Over Worry. Here is a message not just for the chronic worriers. Some of you are in that category. Some of you may be suffering from anxiety disorder. I had an email this week from a person who has anxiety attacks. You may be in that category, but even if you're not, I would suggest that you're sometimes, perhaps even frequently, stressed. Here is a message for all of us who from time to time worry and fret. It's found in Philippians chapter 4. I ask you to turn there in your Bibles. We're going systematically through this wonderful little chapter. We're almost at the end, but these two verses deserve our attention. Philippians 4 then, and our text is verses 6 and 7. Do not be anxious about anything. You got that? Don't be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. There it is. First, there is a challenge. There's a challenge in verse 6, and then there's a promise in verse 7. First, the challenge. And you must meet the challenge before you can claim the promise. We all love to claim the promises, don't we? But first, we must meet the challenge. What is the challenge? Verse 6. We can summarize it in this way. Bring all of your cares to the Lord in prayer. Are you with me? Bring all of your cares, every single one of them, bring all of your cares to the Lord in prayer. Paul says here, do not be anxious about anything. He gives a challenging command. Be anxious for nothing. Now this word anxious, merimnao, is the verb. It meant originally to rip something or to tear something in two. We talk in the vernacular here in the United States about someone being torn up. They're torn up over a situation, over something they're worried about, and they're torn up. They're not literally torn in two, of course, but it means that inside they're churning. Something is being ripped up, as it were, inside them. Something is tearing them up. Paul is saying, don't let anything tear you up. Don't be anxious. Now, I want you to keep your finger in Philippians chapter 4, but go back to Matthew chapter 6. Because in the part of the Sermon on the Mount, our Lord uses this exact word, merimnao. He uses it five times in verses 25 through 34. And I'm going to read this passage with you. And in this passage, this verb, anxious, don't be anxious, is used five times. And Jesus gives several reasons in this passage why we are not to be anxious. Let me mention five. First, in verses 25 and 26, Matthew 6, verses 25 and 26, your heavenly Father is watching over you. Reason number one as to why you should not be anxious according to Jesus is because your heavenly Father is watching over you. Therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious. There's our verb. Same word as Paul is using in Philippians 4:6. Do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you shall put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of much more value than they? If your heavenly Father watches over the birds and makes sure that they're fed, how much more you? Why are you anxious? Jesus is saying, number one, your heavenly Father is watching over you. If you're a father and you can take care of your children, you do that. You would tell them to relax. You would say, Dad's got this in hand. What are you worried about, son? I've got everything under control. That's the point. Your heavenly Father, brother, sister, the problem you've got, that anxiety, that thing that is really gnawing and tearing you up today, your Father in heaven is watching over you. Now in verse 7, reason number 2 Jesus gives as to why we're not to worry. Worrying produces absolutely nothing. Verse 27, and which of you by being anxious, same word, can add a single hour to his span of life? I mean, what do you think that all of your worrying and fretting is producing? It's producing absolutely nothing. Worry's like a rocking chair. It gives you something to do, but it gets you nowhere. And having a grandson, I like to sit in a rocking chair now. But there's no movement, is there? Well, there's movement, but there's no progress. And that's worry. Jesus is saying you can worry all you like, but it will not alter the situation one little bit. Reason number 1, your heavenly Father's watching over you. Reason number 2, not to worry. Worrying produces absolutely nothing. Verses 28 through 32, your heavenly Father knows all of your needs. Verse 28, and why are you anxious, same word, about nothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin, yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore, do not be anxious, same word, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? Don't be like that. Because your heavenly Father not only is watching over you, your heavenly Father knows all of your needs. Does he not? Do you not think that your Father knows about that situation that you're worrying about, brother? He knows all about it. Reason number 4, why you're not to worry. Verse 33, your heavenly Father provides for those who seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Instead of being anxious, this is what you must do, says Jesus. Verse 33, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things, the things that you worry about, will be added to you. God will take care of you. Your priority is not to worry. Don't be anxious, but make sure that God and his kingdom are first in your life. Put God first. Serve him. Love him with all of your heart. And the Lord will work out everything in your life. Reason number 5, verse 34, God gives you all of the strength, all of the wisdom, and all of the grace you need for today. He does not give you the strength, the wisdom, and grace that you need for tomorrow. That's verse 34. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow. You're worried about tomorrow, aren't you? You're wondering what's going to happen when you go into your business tomorrow. You're wondering what's going to happen about that health problem tomorrow, aren't you? You're anxious about it right now. Jesus says, don't be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. People sometimes say to me, you know, we're going to have to face a difficult decision in the future, and we just don't know what to do. Of course you don't know what to do, but God will give you the grace, and God will give you the wisdom, and God will give you the strength to face that situation when it does occur. Don't worry about tomorrow. Being anxious about tomorrow robs us of the joy of the Lord today. You have today. That's all of us have. Boast not yourself of tomorrow. You don't know what's going to happen tomorrow, neither do I. I may think I'm in good health today. I think I am. Tomorrow may be completely different. You may think you're in bad health today. Tomorrow may be very different. But don't worry about tomorrow. Be concerned about today. The future is in the hands of God, not you. Stop worrying. Don't be anxious about tomorrow. Now go back to Philippians chapter 4. That was us taking a little aside as we see how the Lord uses the same word that Paul is using here. Here is the challenge. The command, don't be anxious. The challenge. Verse 6. Don't be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. That's it. Bring all of your anxieties, all of your worries to the Lord. Are you going to meet that challenge? What are you worrying about? Some of you didn't sleep very well last night because you were worried. Some of you have gone through a very, very stressful week. What are your anxieties? What are your fears? What are your worries? Set them out. Bring them all. Write them all down, as it were. If you're married, talk them over with your spouse. If you're not married, talk them over with a friend. But most of all, lay them out one by one before the Lord. Prayer is the answer to care. The way to be anxious about nothing is to be prayerful about everything. That little concern, that little worry you have in the back of your mind, don't ignore it. Bring it out. Bring it to the Lord. All of my worries, all of my cares, all of my anxieties are to be brought to the Lord in prayer. And says Paul, in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, as you pray, give thanks. Now, thanksgiving is a very important spiritual key in dealing with anxiety and worry. When we're worried, we don't feel very thankful, do we? People who are worried, people who are anxious, are generally not very thankful. No, we get bitter. We become self-pitying. We're complaining. We may be devastated by the difficulty of life. But Paul says, be thankful. The more thankful you are, the less you will worry. You see, when we're thankful, we're doing what? We're acknowledging God's goodness and grace to us in the past. And I'm acknowledging my dependence on God for the present and for the future. Your life is in the hands of God. God is your heavenly Father. Paul has said, as we saw last week in verse 3, that your name is in the book of life. Verse 5, the Lord is at hand. Bring all of your anxieties and cares to the Lord and give thanks with a grateful heart. That's the challenge. Don't just keep fretting. Don't just keep telling your friends how tough life is. Bring in them all to the Lord. And do what? Let your requests be made known to God. Cast all of your cares on the Lord. That's 1 Peter 5, verse 7, isn't it? Casting all of your cares or all of your anxieties. Same word here in the noun form. Where Paul says, don't be anxious. Peter uses the same word in Greek in the noun form. Casting all of your anxieties on the Lord because he cares for you. What does the psalmist say? Psalm 55, verse 22. Cast your burden upon the Lord and he'll do what? He will sustain you. He will never allow the righteous to be shaken. The enemy wants us to be shaken. The enemy wants to tear us up. The enemy wants us to doubt the goodness of God and say, why would a good God allow me to do this? But as we cast our cares on the Lord, he will sustain us. See, your anxieties, your problems, your worries are not really yours. They belong to the Lord. Tell him all about them. If you've got a child, you want your child to come to you. And if that child is bothered about something at school, you count it a privilege, don't you? When your son or your daughter comes to you and says, Mom, Dad, there's something I'm worrying about and I want to talk about it. And you're concerned as a parent when you realize that your child is going through some difficulty and isn't sharing it with you. Or if you have a friend and you realize they're going through a tough time, but for some reason they're not telling you about it, you think, why wouldn't they share this? And says, Paul, don't keep it to yourself. Bring it all to the Lord. He can carry all of the burdens. I mean, think of it this way. Think of a blade of grass. To a little worm, that blade of grass is like 10 feet, isn't it? To us, a blade of grass is minuscule. To us, when the problem is right in front of us, it seems insuperable. It seems like a mountain. Our perspective is lost. We see this worry, this anxiety that is right there in front of us. But from God's perspective, it's tiny. It's microscopic. Do you really think that that problem that you have is a big problem to God? Of course not. Here is the challenge. Be God-centered, not problem-centered. Bring all of your cares to the Lord in prayer. Now, why do you do that? Because the Lord can be trusted. Trust is a rare commodity, isn't it? There's a crisis of trust in business. Do we really trust the bankers? Do we really trust Wall Street? Do we really trust the politicians? Do we really trust the presidential candidates? Who is to be trusted? Who can we really trust? We worry when we consider that there is no one we can trust to get us out of a situation. We often don't trust ourselves. We feel inadequate. And we don't trust anyone else. When that happens, we worry and we fret and we have anxiety. But this God, to whom we take all of our worries, all of our feverish anxieties, can be trusted, absolutely trusted. He is all-powerful and He is all-loving. A few years back when Goody and I were on vacation, walking along the beach, and I saw this little toddler, maybe 18 months or so, with his little hands in the hands of his mom and his dad. And they're leading him towards the ocean. And I looked at the little fellow. He's afraid because they're taking him to the sea. And he sees the waves and he hears the crashing of the ocean and he doesn't like it one little bit. He doesn't want to go there. They're delighted to be leading the wee boy into the sea. And as I looked at him, I thought, you know, you've got a father who's very strong and you've got a mother who's very loving. Do you really think that they're going to lead you into danger? But you see, he wasn't looking at his loving mother. He didn't realize how strong his dad really was. He was looking at the waves. To him, these waves were very big, very foreboding. His eyes were on the sea rather than on his mom and dad.
This is The Verdict with Pastor John Monroe and the first half of a lesson titled Winning Over Worry. John will be back in just a moment, but first we want to tell you how to get your free copy of our special featured resource. It's a brand new booklet from John titled Deadly, Why Sin Still Matters. This helpful resource will give you a clear biblical understanding of sin and how it manifests in your life. Ultimately, you'll be encouraged because God has provided a Savior. And there's hope for each one of us to receive forgiveness and redemption. So don't wait. Reset your understanding of sin. And download or request a mailed copy of this free booklet today when you visit theverdict.org. And if you appreciate the biblical teaching presented on The Verdict, we'd ask you to consider supporting our ministry by making a financial donation. Your contribution plays a vital role in covering the cost of creating and sharing these valuable biblical messages with a broader audience in your area and beyond. You can easily give a one-time or recurring donation of any amount when you go to theverdict.org. Or feel free to send a check through the mail. Just address your envelope to The Verdict, care of Calvary Church, 5801 Pineville Matthews Road, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28226. And if you're in the Charlotte area, we invite you to come join us for Sunday morning worship here at Calvary Church, home of The Verdict. Or join us remotely through our live stream online. Again, just visit theverdict.org for more details. Now, here's Pastor John Monroe.
Well, what's your verdict? Are you a worrier? Are you anxious? Did you wake up last night worrying over a relationship, a family concern, a business problem, a health scare, or getting older? Whatever it was, I want you to do what Paul tells us to do. Bring all of your cares to the Lord in prayer. And as you do so, believe that He is well able to handle them. Don't give them to Him and then take them back. The Lord is all-powerful. He's all-loving. So trust Him with your worries and anxieties.
Thanks for joining us today on The Verdict. I'm Michelle Davies. Today's program with Pastor John Monroe was produced and sponsored by Calvary Church in Charlotte, North Carolina.